Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night, the first Sunday of NFL football, and it was an awesome one if you're a Saints fan. Holy crap. I mean, look, I know the Saints, they looked really, really good today, but that's how you're supposed to beat an FCS opponent, 47-10. What a game that was. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Ole Miss football and the chaos weekend that was in college football. I mean, it was just, you know, and I tweeted this morning, for all the talk about how the sport is ruined and blah, 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 right? It's terrible. The portal and NIL has made only a small handful of programs great, and everybody else is going to be bad, and this is all terrible. College football looks, feels, and acts the exact same that it always has. We had chaos. We're going to talk about it. But I've got a few final thoughts for you from Ole Miss's win, just things that I've been thinking about throughout the day as we transition into week three for Ole Miss. And the competition level definitely increases this week. Now, it's still not good, but I don't necessarily think that this is a true preseason game the way the first two were. And so we'll get to some of those. And most importantly, we'll get to your comments on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like the video, leave a comment, and subscribe as well if you have not already. And this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you have been personally injured, or you may have like a small business where you need some legal advice or a contract dispute, I know the person for you, the best person in Mississippi. He's located in Saltillo, but he can service you everywhere in this state. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, he's got you covered for all of your personal injury, small business legal situations that you may need legal advice for or whatever, or contract disputes. Here's the phone number. You may not need him today, but that day may come that you will, and you don't want to be left not knowing who to call. DJ Gregory, Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, bringing you this and every edition of the Rebel Report. So here's some, I got three things that I've been thinking about a lot when it comes to Ole Miss. And I already talked about this some in the post game. So if you listen to the short post game podcast, you already kind of heard me talk about this. But the rest of the day really showed that the way Ole Miss has started and executed and played these two games isn't nothing. It is noteworthy. I know the competition is bad. Trust me, the games are like, I love college football. And getting to, like, cover, quote-unquote, I'm not a reporter or anything, but, you know, we do the radio show focused on Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and obviously this is focused on Ole Miss. They're dominant, and that's fun in some ways. It's kind of boring in others, but it's fun to look at and talk about. Their dominance is not just competition, because there are other college football teams in the SEC and otherwise, that would not have won the way Ole Miss won the first two games against Furman and, yes, against Middle Tennessee. And you're seeing it around college football. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. That can't be ignored. The scoreboard doesn't reflect how much of a fight Alabama had. I mean, they had a dogfight with South Florida up until midway through the fourth quarter. You have Oregon. Now, I know Boise State is much better than Middle Tennessee, but 2 weeks in a row, Oregon, who is a national title contender, according to most people, myself included, struggle with Idaho and struggle with Boise State. You see Penn State at home, Bowling Green, forced them to play all four quarters and had them in a fight all the way through the fourth quarter. And yes, you know, the teams are different and all that. You know, maybe Furman and Middle Tennessee are just so much worse than all the others. I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I think that it is noteworthy, more than noteworthy, the way that Ole Miss is prepared to play, even though the opponent and like the game itself is kind of sleepy. It would be very easy for a bunch of 19 to 22-year-olds to lose focus in preparation and during the game when it's Furman in Middle Tennessee. It would be very easy for them to do. But the fact that they have not done that is not nothing. It means they are well prepared. It means they are very well coached. It means the team is locked in mentally. And you look around college football and you're not getting the same results and the same action or whatever adjective you want to use from some of the best teams in college football. Texas has been like this. Georgia has been like this. Ohio State got off to a slow start, but they've been dominant as well. Ole Miss, Tennessee, I mean, you know, there's a handful of teams that have been like this, but not everybody. And it means something. They are locked in mentally. They are locked in from a coaching staff perspective. They are very well prepared to play in games that you've seen in the past, both for Ole Miss and others, that they're not prepared for and they struggle with. Not this team. And I think that that is that's really significant. And the more I think about it, the more I'm impressed by how they've played, regardless of opponent. The next thing, Walter Nolan, Lane Kiffin, he appears to be fine. That injury looked really bad. We talked about it again. Lane Kiffin told the fans to rest easy, that he didn't go back into the game because of a coach's decision, not a medical decision. That is a really, really good thing, because initially at first I thought that he tore something in his knee and his season was over. Got a little bit better as you saw him moving around the sidelines and stuff. But Lane Kiffin says that it was a him decision to not put him back in the game. And he told fans to rest easy. So there you go. That is really, really, really good news for Ole Miss and Walter Nolan. Knock on wood, through the first 2 weeks, they have been able to get through these games with good health. It's a very good thing. And finally, Wake Forest. I think Ole Miss has a challenge as a relative term. This is, to me, by far the best team that they have played so far. Now, you know, Middle Tennessee and Furman don't exactly give you a whole lot to go by, but and I know they lost to Virginia, and I know they struggled in the first half with NCANT. But this Wake Forest team is going to be very well schemed and well prepared for Ole Miss. If you guys listen to the radio show, you know that I love Dave Clawson. I think he's a really good football coach. The fact that somebody hasn't tried to poach him doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. He does the most with the least in college football. I swear he does. They are a really good passing offense. Hank Bachmeyer, the quarterback, is somebody that's been, I swear, he played his first college football season in 2019. He has, four years at Boise State, 1 year at Louisiana Tech, and now he's at Wake Forest, and he threw at least 94 passes in all of those seasons. He's a good player. He's a good quarterback. He completed 68% of his passes last year at Louisiana Tech. So far, 64%. Has thrown for almost 670 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's a good passing offense. I think it's a top 5 passing offense so far in college football. So when we looked at this game yesterday that Ole Miss played against Middle Tennessee, and there were questions about the defensive secondary, and you know, it's something to keep an eye on. This will be a good opportunity for them to kind of lock in and focus and be prepared more so than they were last week. Because like I said, it didn't look right, but you've seen guys like Trey Washington execute much better against much better teams than the one they saw. So maybe they kind of got sleepy. But either way, Wake Forest should be able to have their attention this week, because Bachmeyer's good. Is he great? No. But he's good. And this is, I'm telling you, Clawson's scheme is a bit unique. And they will be well coached and schemed well against Ole Miss. Now, do they have the athletes to match up with Ole Miss? No, of course not. Not anywhere close. But I do like the challenge that Ole Miss's defense, especially the back end, is going to get if the front seven allows the ball to get thrown at all. But I do like the challenge that Ole Miss is going to get this weekend. I think that while it won't be like big, sweeping, overarching stuff that we can learn, there will be some stuff that we can take away from this game against Wake Forest this weekend. So those are kind of my final thoughts on Ole Miss. I'm just going to leave the college football chaos weekend conversation up to you guys in the chat. So we'll just talk for the next 30 minutes or so about whatever you guys want to talk about. I do want to get into some stuff that happened over the weekend. So hopefully you guys are willing to do so. We'll do that right after I tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. If you're in Mississippi and you need tech in the office, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, has got you covered. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day. They've got local loan servicing and decision making, so you don't have to get on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. If you need a loan or you have a loan that you need to get serviced through them, you sit down with somebody who will build a relationship with you, because like I said, they make you their priority. So bank with me at Priority One Bank. First comment, Ole Miss is just doing what they should do while the ranked teams around them implode. Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember, if you're on time, you're late. Well, no, because when it comes to doing shows, on time is on time. I submitted the stream to the software 6 minutes early tonight. So I was on top of my game today. We did bath time and bedtime. I even read a long bedtime story. I mean, it was a good one too. In plenty of time to get here before 8 o'clock. I was proud of myself. It only took 1 week for the Notre Dame playoff talk to end. Marcus Freeman does not seem like a very good coach. Thankful we don't have to see a waste of a playoff spot. I am very thankful for that, because last week I was worried that you were going to get Notre Dame to be the best team in the quote-unquote ACC. I know they're not in the ACC, but half their schedule is ACC teams. And I was worried that you were going to have one of the best teams in college football after that win in College Station be a five seed and not get a bye. They are sure as hell not one of the best teams in college football, despite what they looked like last week. That was bizarre. Northern Illinois coach, that post-game interview, if you haven't seen it, I tweeted it. It is awesome. What a great dude. Played at Northern Illinois, met his wife there, went back to his alma mater to take over and wins a game like that, and was so rightfully emotional. That's the kind of stuff. That's what I was talking about when I tweeted this morning. This idea that the portal and NIL was going to ruin stuff like this was always a fallacy. It was never going to work like that. There are only so many spots to go around. And Northern Illinois lined up and went to South Bend and just beat Notre Dame. And like their coach said, they didn't need luck. They just won. They just won the football game. College football is still absolutely intact. And thankful for Notre Dame, because they're not winning their next 10 games. So it's all good. That spot is good. No way, shape, or form should Alabama not have dropped in the polls. They, for 3.5 quarters, looked like garbage, just absolute garbage. And then they covered the spread. But yes, they looked really, really bad. And look out, Southern Miss this weekend. USF is in Hattiesburg this weekend. So if they play like that, then look out, Golden Eagles, because I was very impressed with USF and Alex Golesh. I think he's going to be a star soon. Good weekend for the Saints and Ole Miss fans. What a day that was. Which one of you are in here? No, never mind. It was a radio audience texter said that he was told us he was getting up early and he secured club level seats. And I need to see how his day went today. Typical Hugh Freeze, but in week two to Cal, he is in deep trouble going forward at Auburn. I bet he doesn't make it past year three. Auburn now improves to 18-23 since firing Gus. Shout out to Cade Smith for this stat. In 5 years, so this is year five for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And one of those years was the COVID year where it was SEC only. He has lost five home games. This is the first game in Hugh Freeze's second season, and he has lost five home games at Auburn. I think that the take that I tweeted was an accurate one. I think Hugh Freeze is more Jimbo Fisher than he is Steve Sarkisian or Lane Kiffin or Josh Heupel. I mean, the proof is on the field. Jimbo Fisher was once great. Jimbo Fisher won a national championship. He was once considered a great offensive mind, a quarterback developer. He was all of those things. But then the game evolved and he didn't. Hugh Freeze is Jimbo Fisher without a championship, without those real high-level accolades. What if he's not the best play caller in college football, as ESPN wrote a bunch? What if he's not this quarterback guru, like some people try to claim that he is, even though all of his best quarterbacks are he either underachieved with them or they were older transfers? But maybe he's not those things anymore. Maybe he's Jimbo Fisher. But the high school receivers, look at how great the high school receivers are. That's fine. This is the SEC. Everybody gets great high school players. You have to be able to scheme them to wins. Didn't develop, Peyton Thorne did not get any better at all. And like I said to you guys back in April, when Hugh Freeze said he just can't bring himself to spend $1 million on a quarterback, and when Brian Kelly talked about how we're not going to go buy players, remember what I said? I said, this is what fans love to hear in April. They love to hear that crap in April. And then I swear, I mean, you can go back and listen. I said, then let Peyton Thorne throw a couple of interceptions and lose to Cal. Should have spent $1 million on a quarterback. Hugh Freeze is Jimbo Fisher, a poor man's version of Jimbo Fisher. Once really had something. That was 10 years ago. Game has passed him by. A lot of empty seats, by the way, in Jordan-Hare. That was not full. It was not full at all. But hey, those high school wide receivers. Kiffin is outwardly upset with the fans leaving early. Yeah, that's his shtick. It's what he does. I think it's out of touch, personally. I understand why he's doing it. Look, I understand why he's doing it. He wants every single aspect of his program to be as good as it possibly can be. And would it be great if the fans stayed for entire games that are completely and totally not in doubt in any way, shape, or form from the second the ball kicks off? That would be great. That is not reality. There is not a single stadium, not one, in college football that stays full through four quarters of a 50-point game. Not one. It's not an Ole Miss problem. It is a fact of life. And so what bothers me about the way he does that is he talks about it like it's unique to you guys, and it's not. Not a single stadium in all of college football stays full in 50-point games against Middle Tennessee. So I understand the motivation to try to keep that energy in your stadium. I get it. I truly do. But he's out of touch. Both things can be true at the same time. Understand what he's trying to do. He's out of touch. Offense is great. Run defense is great. Pass defense could use work. We'll see a little bit. We'll get a good look into that this weekend for Ole Miss. You knew Notre Dame was horrible, but didn't know they were that bad. Come on, tell the truth. There's no way that you thought after last week Notre Dame was horrible. There's no way you thought that they were horrible after last week. Just turns out that their defense is borderline elite, and they can't score on Madison Central High School. Still don't think that South Carolina is that good. Me either. And wow, Kentucky was about as bad as it gets. Wonder if there's any animosity building in Lexington with Mark Stoops. That could spiral fast. Remember, he took the Texas A&M job until they pulled the rug out from under him. And while Lane Kiffin complains about fans leaving early, which I get, and they did, The Stoops thing with complaining about NIL at Kentucky, when they have enough money to not look like that, that's going to wear a lot thinner, a whole lot thinner than complaining about fans leaving early. Because the way Kentucky played on Saturday has nothing to do with lack of funds. It doesn't. Offensive line's a train wreck, an absolute train wreck at Kentucky. There's a reason, I guess we've learned, that Vandergriff never played at Georgia, and it wasn't necessarily because the guys in front of him. They're in a bad way right now. But I'm with you. I think that LSU is going to beat South Carolina this weekend. I expect that to be a really high-scoring game. LSU already in bad shape on that side of the ball, and then they lose their best defensive lineman. But, I mean, Kentucky's going to get beat by half a hundred this weekend, aren't they? Ooh. Not good. O-line personnel back this week. Let's go. I'm really excited to see Jerquan Scott play. If anything that has been said about him during camp is true, then Ole Miss is getting really good on the interior of the offensive line with him returning. That game for Ole Miss at South Carolina is going to be extremely hostile now. Yeah, that was a big win for them. Until they lose to LSU this week. But if they don't, that place will be a zoo. It still might be one, but it's definitely going to be one if they pull off a win this weekend. Which, by the way, tells you everything you need to know about the slate of games this weekend when that's what College Game Day is going to. There is one ranked matchup this weekend, and it's Missouri and Boston College. Not a good slate, but it's college football. Chaos always happens. Notre Dame has no passing game, none at all. Lost the first leg of your parlay bet with me, so I guess we'll never have a curtain rod. The curtain rod, never going to happen. I tell you guys all the time, I do have one for in here. I just am not going to use it. You're far from concerned. Secondary wasn't great, but you're far from concerned. They're playing very vanilla, had super soft fall camp, and hard to stay motivated with these early games, especially two in a row. I did think it looked like that they kind of got sleepy a little bit, which, I mean, you can't blame them, right? I mean, you're winning by a billion points. It's kind of a sleepy environment. I noticed that there was a little bit of foot taken off the gas there. When they got a very comfortable lead. Mississippi State looked even worse than you thought they would. Their lines of scrimmage on both sides are horrendous. You're seeing three, maybe four wins right now. The offense is not good either. Yeah, the only good thing that you can take away from that game is that they didn't quit. You know, they fought for four quarters and battled their way back some. But, Arizona State had no real passing offense to speak of. A better quarterback completes a lot of open passes down the field that were there. Just Leavitt could not accurately throw the football down the field. That game would have been much uglier had he been able to complete pretty easy downfield passes to open receivers. I mean, we talked about it all summer, all offseason. Some people ignored the obvious, but they lost a lot on last year's defense, which ended up being a top five defense in the SEC. They lost a lot of personnel from last year's defense, multiple guys on NFL rosters from last year's defense, and they signed the worst transfer portal class in the SEC. The worst portal class in the SEC. They had serious personnel problems on defense, especially the front, and they didn't replace them with good enough players. It's really that simple. And they got ran all over because they don't have good enough players to stop the run. And protection is an issue on the offensive line. I like their receivers. They've got good ones, I think. That they did a good job evaluating receivers there. And at times, you know, they were able to scheme guys open and had some explosive plays on offense. But they're bad up front on defense. They're bad up front on defense. And they're certainly not good up front on offense. And you know, defensively, nobody should have been surprised by that. Not a single person. Arizona State had no threat to throw the football whatsoever and ran for approaching 400 yards. That is not a fluke. It's not that is what they will be. And man, that Florida game becomes really interesting in 2 weeks because Lagway looks like the real deal. Looks like the real deal. I know it's Samford, but he's a five-star plus for a reason, and you can see that he's a five-star plus. Dude's good. Going to be good. You know, playing for somebody else next year, but he's going to be good. You get Kiffin being pissed, stay till the end and support the guys. Like, I understand that, but look, here in a couple of weeks, I'm taking my 4-year-old to his first college football game. And these non-conference games are perfect for families to go to. Because it's not as intense, right? I'm going to try my hardest to keep him engaged for 4 hours. I won't be able to do it. I won't. I'm going to try. Luckily, it's at night. They'll have fireworks and all that stuff. But when the game is slow, and that was a slow game, and it's a 50-point game, not everybody in any college football stadium is a diehard like you. The 66,000 people that were in the stadium that they claimed were in the stadium, when the ball kicked off, there are not 66,000 diehards in the stadium. There are 66,000 fans in the stadium, but there's a husband who loves the team and a wife that doesn't really care and 2 4-year-olds that get bored quickly. It's easier to convince them, like, hey, it's Oklahoma. We're going to go get them more snacks and fight through it. When you're winning by 50, it's hard for you to say, hey, honey, I know you're bored, and I know the kids are tired, but we got to stay here for another hour to watch this game that has been decided since the ball got kicked off, and the effort is kind of lacking, the energy is kind of lacking on the field. Everybody kind of knows what's up and wants to go home. I'm not a fan shamer. When, schedule better would be my response. If you don't want fans leaving, schedule better. And I love how, you know, we're having this conversation again when they canceled a home game with USC, Southern Cal, and replaced him with Georgia State. I understand what he's trying to do. I get it. But it's out of touch because not everybody in the stands is a diehard. There are a lot of people that are there for somebody else, and it's harder to justify staying for 4 freaking hours in the stadium when the game looks like that. If Notre Dame played Oklahoma, the over-under would be 20, and you only bet the over if I expected a defensive score. Yeah, Oklahoma up front is pathetic. If that is what they continue to be by the time they get to Oxford, then Walter and Princely, by the way, looks exactly like you were hoping he would look. That twitch is unbelievable. And JJ and Ivy and that entire defensive line is going to absolutely feast. It's going to be ugly for them. LSU looks so checked out. We take anything away from that lackluster showing. The Brian Kelly concern is growing a little bit. They're not good enough. They're not good enough. Baker's going to be good there. They're going to get players. They don't have them right now. That they're not good enough. I think it's really that simple. I think that they don't have the personnel to stop many people. And that's another conversation that we talked about this offseason. Yes, they made a good coordinator hire, but they didn't do a good enough job in the transfer portal. They had bad personnel, and they didn't add good enough players to supplement their losses because Brian Kelly wanted to tell you that we don't buy players at LSU, which is just so funny. They tried and they failed. They don't have good enough personnel. It's just an extension of what we saw last week. Attaboy Ron, I bet you had an awesome weekend. Glad you're here. Oklahoma's fraud, or is a fraud, are frauds. What a disaster their offense is. They got losses coming. They got lots of losses coming. Let's see what's headed their way. Hell, they got Tulane this weekend. I'm just saying Tulane got screwed out of a win over a ranked Kansas State team, completely screwed. I mean, just a phantom offensive pass interference call. Just completely screwed. I wouldn't say it ain't happening. God, they got Tennessee. They got to go to Auburn, which I know Auburn looked like crap, but still. Texas, at Ole Miss, at Missouri, Alabama, LSU. Good Lord. If USF's offense was a little bit more effective, today could have been a rough one in Tuscaloosa. And it would have been a hilarious one for everybody else, I think. You guys would have had a field day reading their message boards. But if you hear one more person list Milroe as a Heisman favorite, you're going to scream, way overhyped. Yep. Their offensive line is suspect. They got kind of bullied on Saturday night, didn't they? Tuscaloosa's in shambles even with sweating it out and getting that win in the last minutes of the game. Bama fans are not used to that against a team like USF, which is funny because they basically played that identical game against a team literally called USF last season. But your point's a good one. The FBS isn't feared by the FCS anymore because of the NIL. I think it's great for football. So can we stop talking about competition because we are seeing the FCS knock off the big boys? I think what you're meaning is the Power Four and the Group of Five, because we haven't really had – I mean, we've had a couple of FCS upsets, but not many. But still, you're exactly right. I mean, the college football has not changed. The competition level has not changed. It's the exact same. We know that what is actually the case at Auburn is that they couldn't get anyone out of the portal to replace Thorne at quarterback. That is absolutely the truth. That's why Thorne's there in the first place, because they got said no to a bunch. Was happy to see a full stadium yesterday. It's a great crowd when the game kicked off. I think that's all you can ask for. That's just my opinion, though. We thinking Paris is the clear-cut number one? Yeah, Lane had an interesting quote about that, talking about how, it's not anything that Bentley did. It's just did wrong. It's just what Paris has been doing right. I mean, the results are, just kind of like, just look. Why did Paris get so many carries? That's why. Well, look at what he did. What time is Ole Miss playing? I believe that's a 5:30 kickoff. Here, I'll double check for you. That's the CW game, which you have it. 5:30 on the CW. The reviews on the CW's broadcasting of college football has actually been good. Like, they're getting some good reviews about, announcers and production quality and stuff like that. So, if you don't know if you have it, the answer is probably that you have it. It is very widely available. Texas State with a curb stomping over rival UTSA. G.J. Kinney looks to be a rising young coach. If things keep going bad in Waco, could be a solid hire for them given his Texas ties. G.J. Kinney was, depending on who you believe, at least some candidate at Mississippi State as well. He'll get a big job soon. What do I make of Dart's disappointment in himself over the consecutive completions? He's a gamer. He's a competitor. That just shows you how locked in they all are. I mean, the way they start games is an example of how locked in they are, but something like that. I mean, he had a record-breaking day, but it wasn't record-breaking enough, and he was mad at himself about it. That's a competitor. That's all that is. There's nothing more to read into it than that. You'd lay the points with Ole Miss again. Wake choked a brutal game at home to Virginia. Yeah, I think that Ole Miss will win this game comfortably, but with a little bit more early discomfort because of, again, the aforementioned. I think that they're schemed well and coached well, but Ole Miss is better than them in every facet of personnel and whatnot. So far, Paris looks the role he does. I mean, There is no reason to think that he should get fewer carries right now. Tennessee looking pretty good so far. Nico has some growing pains here and there, but definitely good. NC State's a mess, though, and Grayson McCall's an embarrassment. Tennessee looks great. Looks great. What is up with the ads? 3 through 13 minutes? Oh, that should not happen. Let me try to adjust this on the fly. That is too many. That is on YouTube's end, and there is a setting actually that I can that I do trigger to avoid that. And I guess sometimes the algorithm or whatever screws up. So here, what I will do, sorry about that. That's too many. I mean, what is that? One every 4 minutes? That's not right. So let's try this again. All right. I mean, it was how it's supposed to be selected. So sorry about that. Sorry about that, because that shouldn't happen. You have no words for the Titans today? Yeah, here's your stat of the day. You ready to add insult to injury? The Titans did not give up a touchdown, and their opponent had fewer than 150 total yards, and they lost the game. They lost the game. Yeah. Freezes Andy Kennedy went enough to get fans a little excited, but that's about it. The difference is Hugh Freeze has resources that Andy Kennedy has never had. You think they're inflating the announced attendance numbers? I think it's simply a product of the student section tickets sold. I think it's that simple. They do it obviously based on tickets sold. That's how they're going about this. But the student section is gigantic to begin with, and they oversold it by 3,500, I think. So that's a lot of what you're coming or what you're seeing here. Georgia Southern crowd will be great. I agree, because the weather by then should be awesome. It's a night game. Primetime is a great recruiter, not a great coach. He's average at best. He's not even average, but he's not a great recruiter because he doesn't go recruit. I mean, openly admits to have never gone on a recruiting visit away from his campus. Has not done that yet. That's not doing it differently. That's laziness. That's not giving a you know what. They are so incredibly easy to not like, and they completely bring it on themselves. There is no that they do it to themselves. It has nothing to do with anything other than their own behavior and actions. That's why the college football world hates them. It's because they weren't even born on third base, you know? As a program, they had nothing, right? Ryan Day's Ohio State, he was born on third base when he took that job. Deion Sanders did not take over a great situation. So they were born on first base after a intentional walk, and think they hit a game-winning home run in the bottom of the ninth. It's their actions and behavior dictate why they are so heavily disliked. And they're not good enough to back it up. Who called plays for Auburn versus Cal? We talked about it this offseason. You can't make that excuse anymore. He took that arrow out of his own quiver because he's calling the plays now. Prime is a terrible coach, and Nebraska is not back at all. Beating Colorado isn't some great achievement. Watch them go to Colorado State and lose this weekend. What happened to Centarian Perkins? You didn't hear his name called one time. He played a lot. I think he's in a precarious situation where he's not big enough to be an edge. And maybe not ready yet to be a linebacker, kind of just like the in-between, but he played a lot. I mean, that defensive front's just really, really good. I think he'll be fine. It just takes some time. Arizona State could have beaten Mississippi State much worse. Yeah, and don't forget that Arizona State got off the field on a fourth down and a really, really bad penalty call. Allowed State to keep the drive going, and they scored on literally the next play. really thought Nolan tore an ACL for a second. So did I. College game day going to South Carolina is odd. I guess they won an ESPN game and not another big noon with Bama, Wisconsin. I think that's part of it. I do. I think that's part of it. And, I mean, if we're being completely honest, the game days, it'll be a really good environment on top of that. But, yes, there's some network wars in that. The Tulane one was a heartbreaker, but fortunately Ole Miss kicked off just after. Rebecca, if you were there, because I obviously, you know, we've talked about you being a student. I don't like what's the mood down there? I mean, it was a Big 12 crew that did it too. In no way, shape, or form was that a penalty. Tulane got screwed out of that touchdown, the tying touchdown. It was awful, just absolutely awful. Really blew a huge opportunity. That was a freshman quarterback made a bad mistake with that fumble that led to a Kansas State touchdown that kind of lost them the game. That was a tough, tough loss for them. I still think they're really, really good for a G5. Okay, why am I getting more I didn't show up on time stuff? I showed up exactly on time. Like this stream started exactly when it was supposed to. You guys get out of here with that. How will I catch Dawson's Creek if a football game's on? Apparently, they've done well. What's with traditions dying? The team doesn't lock the vault. No red and navy versus LSU. Love Lane, but tradition matters. Well, lock the vault's not really that old anyway. But here's what I'll say. Because I agree with what you're saying. I do think tradition matters. Like Florida State's football, their 0-2 football team taking a vote to stop playing the war chain on third down, I would tell them to kick rocks. You're an employee, essentially, now. Win football games. Then maybe you can vote on stuff like that. But, I mean, the uniform matchup that they had with LSU last year, one, was visually stunning. And two, the powder blue color is deeply, deeply rooted in the history of Ole Miss football. It's not like they just decided, hey, here's this new color we're going to try. Powder blue is, I mean, it's part of Ole Miss football lore. The two most important figures to the program wore powder blue. Manning wore powder blue. Mullins wore powder blue. I mean, it's and the story behind it is like so perfectly college football that's one of those things where not only do I don't think that's taking away tradition, I think that is expanding the emphasis on what is a really cool tradition associated with Ole Miss football. Guessing Napier is going to go with Lagway for the foreseeable future. That's the only way to save his job. I have a promising young quarterback shine. That's the only way. Shout out to CBS Sports on their updated playoff predictions today. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State in with Ole Miss out in the Citrus Bowl. Truly brilliant. My goodness. Who did that? Yeah, I'm sorry. The three Big 12 teams are not making the playoff, especially not those three. It's not happening. Thoughts on six SEC teams in the top seven? I think it's all justified, and I think the rest of the league is kind of not good. Mid, as the kids say. Unfortunate the United States national team had their first loss on home soil to the Canadians in 67 years, even if we were missing a lot. Yeah, I saw a lot of people. When you're in a transition period between one coach and the next, and the new coach has not taken over yet, I could not possibly bring myself to worry about the result, especially missing a lot of guys in a match like that when the new coach has yet to start coaching for the Federation. I don't know. I was not at all fazed by that. I'm just really looking forward to seeing them after they can, implement a system and start working for him. Did anyone else hear Judkins making fun of Vaught Hemingway versus Ohio State? Yeah, I saw that. We talked about it a little bit. My advice would be just ignore it. It just simply does not matter. It really does not matter. And, him being at Ohio State now and that team being as good as they are and him still, kind of clapping back or whatever that people call it at Ole Miss is kind of confirmation, right? Prime's the front man, should have been in a rock and roll band, just uses his name and fame and that's it. If he did recruit and humble himself and learn, he could be a decent coach, but that will never happen. He could be a great coach. I mean, let's not pretend like he's not polarizing and infectious, and let's not pretend like he couldn't go into living rooms and win parents, and he could raise money, and he could get a lot of attention, real NIL attention, like marketing attention to his program. They do it, even though they suck. But very clearly, he does not put in the work that it requires to be a successful college football coach. When you are not making a single recruiting visit, you're not doing what's necessary. You're not putting in the work. It's obvious. The articles about players that they ran off, you didn't even know what their names were, just is not grinding the way you need to win in college football. He's a marketer who just wanted to showcase Shador. Wouldn't be surprised by that. Thoughts on Memphis opening as a 3-point dog at Florida State? Man, I thought Florida State was going to bounce back against Boston College. So if I say it again, you know what to do. This is Memphis's opportunity, though. Tulane had their chance and they blew it. Here's Memphis's chance to solidify their resume to be that group of five team that makes the playoff. Forgot to mention Oregon is still playing with fire. Very fortunate to win that barn burner versus Boise. Boise's got the best running back in college football, by the way. Judkins is second fiddle. Had his attitude changed, he would have been great at Ole Miss. He would have. Oh, Arkansas, my goodness. Losing that game, outgaining Oklahoma State by almost 300 yards could break a season. Absolutely. And, I know what Green's numbers were, but if you watch the game, I think you saw it as well. He's a limited passer. He is not a consistent passer. Far too often did he miss really high, or he would get bailed out by receivers making unbelievable plays. He's not consistent enough throwing the football. If you can force him to beat you with his arm, he eventually will not do it. But Arkansas played a perfect half of football in the first half, a perfect half of football. In the second half, they had stupid penalties. They had mental mistakes. They were sloppy. They turned the football over. It was hard to watch. They tried every way imaginable to give that game away, and yeah, it could break a season. I mean, let's see what they got. It's UAB this weekend. They'll win. UAB's bad. But, man, there's a chance that – and I wasn't impressed at all with Oklahoma State's defense, especially their front was just slow and unathletic. Quarterback play, not great there. There's probably a reason why he's been in college for a billion years. But Oklahoma State's not a top 20 team in the country either, I don't think. They wouldn't win six if they were in the SEC. Is Austin Simmons as good as Nico? Oh, gosh. I think that he has got the raw ability that can make him look like Nico. I do think that. But, no, Nico's doing things as a starter that Austin Simmons has just yet to prove. But That doesn't mean he didn't have the chance to be great. I really like what I see from Simmons. Does the dunking after big plays worry anyone else? We've talked about it a little bit on here. Yeah, it makes me cringe every time. Every single time. You're fine with wearing powder at home versus LSU and then run on the road? I'm cool with that. Has the radio host who called all of Mississippi stupid had to apologize yet? Hyperbole gets views, but something about calling an entire state stupid over football seems maybe excessive or just lazy. It's all of the above. It's very typical, like, sports talk radio guy is what that was. I don't know if he did. I muted the notifications on that because it just kind of went nuts. I know that he apologized to Logan Cook, the Jags punter who does spots on that station, who's from Mississippi and played at Mississippi State. Whoops. But yeah, that, and I usually don't engage with stuff like that, but it was just so remarkably stupid. The argument is a stupid one. The state of Florida is not stupid. A lot of wonderful people in the state of Florida. But trying to make this college football job is better than that college football job because of the state public education rankings is incoherent. It's nonsensical. You can make an argument that Florida is a better job than Ole Miss. You can make that argument. I would argue against today, right now, in this moment, but you can at least have that discussion that Florida's a better job than Ole Miss. You can also have the discussion and have tangible proof and evidence to back it up that right now, today, that is not the case. You can make that argument too, and you can have that debate and have coherence on each side and it be good. But instead, it's that entire state is dumb. Look at their public school rankings. That's why Kiffin to Florida. It's incoherent. And it's that kind of stuff is an insult to the industry, is what it is. But anyway. For Tennessee is now saying they'd wax Ole Miss by 21 plus if they played. Don't worry about what Tennessee fans say. They're really good, though. That's a really good Tennessee team. I really like a lot of what they have to offer. You don't use math to make people feel stupid, except for engineers who need to be put in their place. But put me in a room with that radio host. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's just there are so many ways to argue that point without going down that road. And choosing to go down that road displays an incredible lack of self-awareness. So, anyway, we went long tonight, but that's okay. I appreciate you guys so much. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, Rebel Report, wherever you get them. Subscribe. Leave a rating and a review, all that good stuff. We'll be back on Tuesday getting you ready for week 3 for Ole Miss. I appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.